On this episode of I'm Your Football Team. I can't stand fantasy football. Quick preview and predictions of all week 11 games. Once again, we give you our top 5 teams and our most generic bottom 5 teams in the NFL. So leave your coat and feelings at the door and let's again. I'm me. I'm this podcast. I'm this song. I'm this intro.
Dad, stop. You're embarrassing me.
Really? All right.
I'm you, Dad.
Good call, honey. Great call, actually. Welcome to I'm Your Football Team. Now, newcomers and all, once again, I'm You is just a term to make fun of everything and anything. It's simple terminology that people have caught on to throughout the years, and I'm sure you'll catch on to it easily as well. Okay, welcome to I'm Your Football Team. I'm your host, Keith Ernst. Now, first of all, I just want to be on record saying how much I despise fantasy football. I'm so done with this shit. I mean, really. Really, I mean, I play against Mahomes finally this season, and he finally decides to throw for 5 touchdowns and 400 yards. I'm that. People are like, oh, well, you know, it happens. It happens. Well, I don't want it to happen, okay? I mean, what kind of shit is that? And listen to this. I have the most points in my fantasy league right now, and I'm in 6th place. I mean, how is that even possible? And people are like, oh, yeah, it's part of the game, man. It's part of the game? Game? I'm your fucking game, all right? There is absolutely no skill in fantasy football at all. Okay, nerds? Because you have no clue what your player slash athlete is going to do that day. You don't know if their girlfriend broke up with them the night before. I mean, you have no clue if their freaking pet turtle died or something. I mean, you have no clue what is going through their heads. So I'm officially retiring from fantasy football after this season. I'm done. And you want to know the true reason why? All that other stuff, yeah, whatever. I cannot stand the people who play fantasy football. So I guess I hate myself, right? And I'm that. But that's why I'm going to stop playing. And this is why I can't stand them, because they're so generic. And maybe you're not this kind of player, which is cool. If you're not, keep having fun. But if you are, I'm you. The person that's like, oh, dude, I knew this guy was going to be a stud. I knew that. I knew it. You really? You knew that shit? You knew it? No, you didn't. Okay? Because all you're doing is going off some stupid magazine that you have in your hand or some pecking order on the website you play fantasy football on. That's it. You didn't know freaking Jamar Chase was going to be great. You didn't know all these people. Stop. But my biggest problem with people who play fantasy football is you can't talk fantasy football with them. You just can't. At all. You think I'm messing around? Try it. Okay, this is what happens usually. They ask you if you play fantasy football. You say, yeah, I play fantasy football. Then they ask you who's on your team. But here's the thing. They don't give a shit who's on your team, because all they want to do is tell you who's on their team. And I'm that. You could be like, oh yeah, I got Josh Allen as my quarterback. Nick Chubb is my running back. CeeDee Lamb is my receiver. And they're just nodding their head listening to you the whole time. You could see their mouth is about to explode with an avalanche of names, because they're not listening to you, because they need to tell you how great their team is. So that's why when I see them acting that way, I always end with this. And Clubber Lang is my tight end. And they're like, oh, that's great, because I got blah, 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 blah. Didn't even listen to you. I'm you. I'm fantasy. I'm everything about it. Fantasy and you can in the motherfucking world. Okay, now that I got that off my chest, let's get into all the Week 11 games. Okay, on the Patriots being good again. I mean, really? You got Mac Jones over here throwing passes a 5-year veteran can't even throw. I feel bad for the East, though, right? They were like, yes, Tom Brady is gone. We can win this thing now. We got this. Let's go. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come out of the locker. We got this. Yeah, let's go. Wee-haw! And then freaking Mac Jones and Belichick, and now they're doing the same thing they did 3 years ago. And on that note, on the Jets, 49ers, and Bears, firing their scouting department like yesterday, because they all passed on Mac Jones and on that for other quarterbacks. Now, I will give the Jags a pass because Trevor Lawrence has not been that bad considering the circumstances. But this mother effer Mac Jones, man, this guy had 198% quarterback rating. I mean, 19 for 23, 200 yards passing, and 3 touchdowns against the Browns defense, which is considered one of the best in the NFL, no? Oh, by the way, so guess who I am? I'm me. I was like, oh, the Browns defense is going to do this, man. Yeah, the Browns defense, watch. They're going to shut down Mac Jones and the Patriots. Ah, I'm me. I was so wrong. Mac Jones and the Patriots have won 4 in a row. Okay, now one of those wins was against the Chargers in Los Angeles by 3 points, Which is impressive because the majority of NFL watchers, including myself, expected them to lose that game at that time. But what's really impressive, the other three games the Pats have won in this four-game winning streak, they've won by a combined score of 123-26. And on that, I don't care who they're playing. These are NFL teams, and they've beat them once again by a combined score of 123-26. That's almost a 100-point difference, guys. That's, once again, I will say this. I'm the Patriots having only one down season before getting good again, okay? Fuck off. The Falcons, I'm them. Just awful performance against the Cowboys. Game was over at halftime, 36-3, for those who weren't following it. But how bad of a performance was it by the Falcons? Listen to their halftime stats here, okay? And the reason I want to talk about the halftime stats is because starters were getting pulled and game plans change when you're up that big. So listen to these stats. First half, the Atlanta Falcons had 77 yards total offense in the first half. And on that, 77 yards, 0-5 on third downs and 0-1 on fourth down. And they had only five first downs too. And look, their offense and defense are ranked in the bottom half of the league. Here's an interesting stat, though. The Falcons have yet to allow a 300-yard passer this season. Granted, Dak Prescott had 296 yards and was taken out at the end of the third quarter. But hey, look, whatever can inspire this generic team after a putrid showing, go for it. And listen to this. Atlanta is 4-5, believe it or not. And they can make a wild card playoff run here. So I don't know. Here's the problem I'm seeing. They're at home. And guess how many victories the Atlanta Falcons have had at home this season? Oh, the same amount of Super Bowls they have. Zero. Not one win at home. I guess they won in London, which was considered a home game. Harry Potter. Cheerio, Governor. Would you mind if I use the loo? Hello, Nemo. Here is the scary thing about this game. It's a no-brainer, right? That's what makes it scary. Falcons look terrible. Pats look great. Falcons are at home where they suck. But do you know what this reminds me of? Last week's Thursday night football game, which I thought was a no-brainer, when the 2-7 Dolphins at the time beat the 6-2 Ravens, who were heavily favored. And nobody saw that coming. And I'm you if you say, I did. I predicted. Ask my friend. Ask him. Hey, he knows. He got his. This guy knows. You didn't predict anything. So will I fall for this again? Will I? Fool me once, football gods. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Right? Is that how it goes? I don't know. But regardless, I am going to take the fucking Patriots, baby. Are you kidding? Like I say all the time, your boy is not smoking crack here. Not that there's anything wrong with smoking crack. I don't want to offend any crack smoking people out there. But here's the thing. Anything the NFL has shown us this season is that, of course, the Falcons can upset the Pats. But the truth is, I would only be picking the Falcons to say, oh, I told you so next week, which I'm not going to do that because I truly don't believe that. I will say, though, the Falcons were embarrassed. And what does old Jack Burton always say? Who? Jack Burton. Me. If you know what movie that's from, you're awesome, by the way. But this is what I always say, that when a team gets humiliated, like the Falcons did, they come back pissed off because they're still athletes and have tons of pride. So, give me the Falcons to cover the 10 points, but the Pats to win. The Colts at the Bills. Okay, it's official, guys. The Colts are the most generic team in the NFL. Why do I say this? Because their offense pretty much performs in the first quarter of every game, and then they just like hang on for dear life the rest of the game. I mean, is that your game plan, Coach Reich? I mean, that game against the Jags, they were so lucky to win. I mean, after the first quarter and half, Carson Wentz and the offense decides to stop playing. Now, the defense, they continued to play and play decent, actually, and is the only reason why they won against the Jags. Like I said, though, if you watched only the first quarter of every Colts game, you would think that they're going to the freaking Super Bowl or one of the best teams in the NFL. And here's the thing about Wentz. His stats are actually not bad. 18 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. But on that, I'm willing to bet that all those stats come in the first two quarters of every game. Okay? Now, statistically, Colts have been like middle of the road offense and defense. They have yet to beat a good team. The only team that is worth mentioning would be the 49ers in San Francisco, who just put a beating on the Rams. But it was raining badly in that Colts and 49ers game, if you remember. Now, the Bills come off a huge win against the Jets. I'm the Bills, too. Oh, see, we are good, you know? We are. Ignore the fact that we lost to the Jags and the only team we beat with a record over 500 is the Chiefs. We'll ignore that because, you know, we're the best team in the NFL again. Now cue the music.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout.
Okay, I'm going to be right back. I'm going to go and buy a used car after being inspired by that generic fight song. Now, the Bills defense has been playing excellent football, by the way. But they kept them in the Jags loss, and pretty much I think they're the main reason why they won against the Jets. S-H-I-T. Shit, shit, shit. Because Mike Wyatt, Mike Wyatt, threw four interceptions to the Bills. Oh, and the Bills are favored at home by 7 points. And here's a quick reminder. The Colts were there last season, if you remember, during the playoffs, where Phillip Rivers almost pulled off the upset. So what do I think about this game? Let me think. This here is my almost lock of the week. I see the Bills kicking that ass and Wentz being knocked out of the game with a sprained asshole again. Give me the Bills winning and covering the spread. The Baltimore Ravens at the Chicago Bears. I'm the Ravens. I'm me taking them as my lock of the week too. Wow, that was genius by me, huh? Huh? I'm me. And I'm also people saying that Lamar's figured out. Stop. Just stop. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that shit since he's been in the NFL. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, people. They just had a terrible game. It happens in the NFL. They fell victim to showing up, and the Dolphins pretty much were tired of people saying Lamar Jackson is going to come back to his hometown and stomp them. I'm whoever said that, by the way. What were you thinking? Oh, wait, that was me. I'm me. I'm my lock of the week again, by the way, being them. I'm that. But I am still 7-3 in my locks of the week, so just so you know, but whatever. Now, the Ravens have the number 2 offense in the NFL. That was shut down by the 29th defense in the NFL, which was the Dolphins. So what the fuck does that mean, right? So now they're still the number 2 offense, right? They're going against the 12th ranked defense in the Bears. So technically, the Ravens should struggle, no? They struggled against the 29th statistically ranked defense, and now they're going against the 12th. You would think that they'd struggle, right? But let's talk about the Bears offense real quick. I mean, seriously, holy shit, was I bashing Justin Fields in the first half of that Steelers Monday night game a couple weeks ago. I could not get over how shitty he looked and pretty much has been looking in a lot of these games. I mean, let's be honest, nowhere near the last great Bears quarterback, which was from the 1940s, and his name was Sid Luckman. He used to bang all the dames and flappers down at the nickel and dime. It's curtains for you, Rock. They're so lovely. I mean, I'm convinced he heard me bashing him because he suddenly turned it on in the second half. He looked actually like a starter in the NFL. And by the way, that was against a Steeler team that has a better defense than this Ravens team statistically. So that's why this game is tough to me. Basing off the Ravens' last performance and the Bears' last performance, you would think the Bears would win. But the Ravens were embarrassed and have had 10 days off. This is going to be a close game. I believe that the Bears keep it close and have a chance to win this game and can win this game. I'm going to say the Ravens win in a close one. So give me the Bears getting 6 points. The Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. Woo-wee, the Texans. The Texans come off a bye week with the last ranked defense and the 29th ranked offense. Now they face the number 1 seed, 8-3 Tennessee Titans, who seem to keep winning without Derrick Henry, which seems a bit odd to me. They're 2-0 without him. So the Titans played the Saints, and I watched quite a bit of that game. And I'm telling you, the Titans should have lost that game. I mean, they only had 264 yards total offense. The Saints, their opponent, had 375 yards with Trevor Siemian at the helm. And I'm that. They literally lost the Saints because of 2 missed extra points. Now, here comes the Texans, who I mentioned before are a Texas-sized piece of shit. But Tyrod Taylor will be the starter again this week. He looked terrible in his game against the Dolphins, in their last game, that is. But it's been a while since he played, right? Look at Russell Wilson's forgettable performance against the Packers. Now, T-Mobile has had 2 weeks to prepare for the Titans. I'm T-Mobile, by the way. But listen to this. In his first game of the season, Tyrod and the offense almost had 500 yards against the Jacksonville defense that has played well this season. And not only that, Tyrod was beating the Browns and playing very good football when he went out in week 2 with his injury that kept him out for 7 weeks. So what am I getting at here? The Titans have 2 losses. One of those losses were to the Jets. S-H-I-T. Shit, shit, shit. And I'm that too because Hot Mom quarterback won that game for him. And the Titans had Derrick Henry when they lost that game. So Could it be that they may underestimate bad teams, and that is why the Jets game led to a loss? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you right now, I like the Texans in this game. This is not only my upset special of the week, this is my lock of the week here. I'm taking the Texans here. That's right. I say the Texans are going to win. I'm not telling you to bet them on money line though, okay? But what I am saying is my lock of the week is the Texans getting 10.5 points at Tennessee. The Washington football team at the Carolina Panthers. Dude, I'm so Darnold Duck. Actually, I'm sorry. Can we please pay our respects to Darnold Duck, please? Because, you know, the Jets organization was blamed for his failure. But then he comes to a team, you know, that seemed like a plug and play and completely fails. Replaced by another journeyman, PJ Masks, who shines. And not only that, they signed Cam Newton to signify the death of Darnold Duck. He will no longer be a long-term starting quarterback in the NFL. So this is basically his official demotion to permanently being a backup quarterback in the NFL. So can we please just have a moment of silence for Darnold Duck? Okay, now, let's get into the game. The Washington football team pulls off the upset against the Brady-led Bucks. Pretty shocking. But really, is it? All the upsets in the NFL this season, and you're shocked? I'm not shocked. I mean, the way the season is going, Broward Community College could probably beat the top-ranked NFC team. And they don't even have a football team at that college, and I'm that. But Washington's defense is a huge disappointment. Maybe the biggest of the season. I would say right under Mahomes' performance thus far, and Henry Ruggs, the third's stock he bought in Chevy Corvette. No, seriously, I heard that stock was doing well on Wall Street until it crashed. Is that too soon? A little too soon? Okay. So in this last Bucks game, Washington's defense showed up big time, right? Without Chase Young, who is now out for the season, I believe. Heineken played a fantastic game. Washington has the 15th ranked offense and the 26th ranked defense. Now, if you asked me in the beginning of the season, I would think that would have been flip-flop, no? Heineken and Washington's offense sealed the game by time of possession. That last drive took as long as Schneider has taken to find a new name for the Redskins. Almost an 11-minute drive to put the Bucks away. In this game, though, I'm going for the Panthers defense to shut down Heineken and the offense. I see PJ starting and Cam coming into play as well. Okay, like he did against the Cardinals. Oh, and by the way, I'm Cam Newton. I'm back. Yeah, he's back to a team that dumped him because he couldn't win a Super Bowl. And we could see a Superman celebration when he gets a first down when we're down 48-0. You know what else? I'm so tired of this race card shit, okay? The man took his helmet off when the game was still in reach to say, I'm back. So I pointed that out and said how dumb that is. Because, like I said, the game was still in reach. I got called a racist by trolls on the internet for pointing that out. Saying, I'm just another white person hating on Cam Newton. I'm you and fuck off, okay? The guy is a selfish asshole for doing that. For taking off his helmet. And that's why he hasn't won and will never win. So if being a racist is calling somebody out for something stupid no matter what their color is, I guess that's what I am. Oh, and give me the Panthers in this game, giving 3.5. The Detroit Lions at the Cleveland Browns. This is obviously my I'm You Game of the Week. And by the way, I'm me listening to the Super Browns fan out there who told me that, oh, it's all going to turn around. I'm you. You know who you are. I'm Mayfield. I think it's time to evict him out of his home, no? Progressive is paying for. I mean, can he win a game on his own? No Nick Chubb, and it showed. Listen to this crazy stat. When the Browns have been outrushed by 50 yards or more, they are 0-14 with Baker Mayfield. That's crazy. It shows he is not an elite quarterback at all so far. He was playing so bad that he took himself out of the game, right? With an injury. Yeah, I'm calling that knee contusion BS. Especially if he starts this week. He came out and said, oh, I'm sore all over. Oh, is that the excuse, really? Stop. Then take yourself out of the game permanently. Stop with that bullshit. You can't go out and play like shit and then blame, oh, I'm not fit. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not fair to the fans and it's not fair to the Browns organization. And I'm you. I used to like this kid a lot. I can't stand him now. Oh, but I guess that makes me a racist, right? Because he's a white guy? The Lions, on the other hand, almost had a win and blew it again. And I'm their kicker, though. That dude came out, chest bulked out, looking macho as fuck, I ain't gonna lie. Thick-ass mustache. And then he kicked one of the worst field goals I've ever seen in my life. I'm him. That being said, I love the Browns in this game. I do believe the Lions have somewhat of a weight lifted off their chest, as they will not go 0-17. It's impossible. So they could just play football and have fun now, which may improve their play. Who knows? You know, because they're pretty much playing for a roster spot somewhere next season. And like I said, that may work to their advantage. But the Browns win because of Nick Chubb. and the rushing attack. And here's the main reason why, guys. The Browns have the second-ranked rushing offense in the NFL. The Lions defense, 30th rushing defense in the NFL. Need I say more? Give me the Browns covering that 10-point spread. Especially now that they're saying, what, Goff might not even start. And they got some other guy coming in I've never heard of. Another Mike Wyatt type quarterback. The 49ers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. 49ers, right? Back against the wall. They just turn it up on Monday Night Football. Impressive. I mean, they were helped by some dropped passes and terrible play by Matt Stafford. But they beat the Rams and beat them bad. The third time the Rams have been blown out this season. And that's the thing with the Rams, man. When they lose, they fucking lose. Like, they lose. They just don't show up. It's crazy. Now let's talk about the 49ers, okay? Jimmy G is one of those quarterbacks that nobody wants to start, waiting for him to be benched. And he silenced a lot of people on Monday night by making some key first down throws. But we all know this team goes through their defense, just like the Jaguars, which makes this an interesting game to me. Jacksonville's defense shut down Josh Allen a couple weeks ago and played a hell of a game against the Colts. I mean, even if the Jags had an average offense and a kicker, by the way, who missed an extra point and a field goal against the Colts, and I'm that because they would have won, I mean, it would play a big difference. So you would think in this game, the better defense wins. The 49ers have the 8th-ranked defense. The Jags are the 20th-ranked defense, which I thought they would be higher considering how well they played the last two games, the Jaguars, but whatever. In this game, I can see the Jags winning. They're starting to believe in themselves each and every week, but the 49ers need to stay alive for any wild card run. So this is tough. The spread is 6 points. 49ers are favored by 6 points, that is. I say either team can win this, but I'll go with the 49ers, but I love the Jags getting six. The Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. The Green Bay Packers, believe it or not, have the 20th ranked offense statistically. The Vikings have the 9th offense ranked statistically. So the Vikings offense is ranked higher than the Packers statistically. But here's the thing a lot of people don't know. Green Bay has the 3rd ranked defense. Now last week I knew Aaron Rodgers would have a shit game. He was terrible. He was totally distracted from that whole vaccine bullshit. The Vikings, on the other hand, beat an up-and-down Chargers team that we never know what we're going to get with the Chargers, which was my upset special last week, and I nailed it. And look, I go after Cousins a lot on this show, but the Vikings have been in just about every game. Their big problem is they always find a way to fuck it up at the end. Cousins has 18 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, okay? And I'm that. That's pretty good. I swore he had worse stats than that. But in this game, once again, Kirk Cousins is going against a stout defense. The last defense he went against that was good at the time were the Browns. And the Vikings were home as well as they are for the Packer game. And they lost 14-7. They can only put up 7 points against that Browns defense. So the Packers will shut down the Vikings, but the Vikings keep it close. I see Aaron Rodgers throwing for a couple of touchdowns and giving a few players COVID en route to a victory. Vikings are getting 2.5. You know what though? I still think Vikings keep it close. But not that close. Give me the Packers winning and covering. The Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. This, my friends and fans, all 2 of you, is my OMU game of the week. Wait, we already had one. So we got a doubleheader here on the OMU Sports Network. What a shit sandwich this is, no? On this game, I mean, props to the Dolphins for showing up 1 week and taking down Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Super impressive. I mean, especially to all the people who bet against you because you played like fucking trash the whole season and you decide to show up for one damn game, really? But how about this? How about you show a little something before you pull an upset like that, you know? And how about you decide on a quarterback too? We're tired of it. Dolphin fans are actually tired of it. Yo, let's start Brissett. No, Tua. Brissett. Okay, Tua. Assholes. Wonder you're the hardest team to bet on. I'm just waiting for the one play where both Tua and Brissett go out there at the same time and go under center completely confused about who's supposed to be in the game. So the Dolphins have, as I mentioned earlier, the 29th ranked defense in the NFL, who completely shut down the second ranked offense in the Ravens. And now they go against Mike Wyatt. Actually, Joe Flacco is going to get the start, but I just want to say something, okay? Congratulations on Mike White, by the way. Congratulations. No, seriously. Did you see that last game? He looked just like a New York Jets quarterback when he threw for 4 interceptions and no touchdowns. He did it. So, you know what? Congratulations, Mike White, on him carrying that New York Jet tradition of having the shittiest quarterbacks in the NFL. That's awesome, man. Pretty good. As I mentioned, he was replaced by Joe Flacco, who was 4-for-4 and threw a touchdown and will be starting this week. Now, just so you guys know, man, it's pretty exciting stuff. You know, it's like Ali and Frazier, right? This is the first two meetings of these two heavyweight contenders. Wait, that reminds me. You could see the cheapest ticket price on ESPN. I want to see real quick. Let me see how many packs of White Claws you can buy instead of going to this game. $22 tickets. Woo! So when I think about that, that's actually one 12-pack of White Claw with some change. You get some change back. Interesting. Which one would I choose? You know what? White Claw. And the only reason why is, honestly, they got the holiday edition coming out. They're called Santa Claus. So as much as I'm a fan of Tua, who nobody knows is going to play anyways, I'm rolling with paying for a pack of White Claws over this game. As far as this game goes, I'm taking the Dolphins, giving 3 points with super low confidence here, by the way. The New Orleans Saints at the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm the Saints, man. Totally should have beat the Titans. I mean, they covered but didn't win. The two teams I saw last weekend that should have won their games were the Jaguars and Saints. And Saints have a pretty good defense. They do have the 26th ranked offense, and Philly's got the 15th ranked offense here. So the main reason for that is the Eagles have finally learned to run the ball. Because get this, people, they have the 3rd ranked rushing offense in the NFL. And they lit up the Broncos on Sunday. And I'm them, by the way. I'm the Broncos. Like, if you guys listened to my preview last week with the Broncos, I told you they were going to lose. Just by the way they reacted after they beat the Cowboys, it was like the season was over. Like the one guy was like, oh, they disrespected us by going for it on 4th down, the Cowboys. It's like, yeah, what? Disrespect? Every team goes for it on 4th. What are you talking about? Oh, we figured out the blueprint on how to beat the Cowboys. What's your blueprint? Bunch of drop passes and miscues by the Cowboys? And I knew they wouldn't match that intensity that they had against the Cowboys when they came out like it was the Super Bowl and the Cowboys came out like it was a preseason game. The Eagles matched that intensity and beat the piss out of the Broncos and proved that that game against the Dallas Cowboys with the Broncos was a complete fluke on the Broncos. And the Eagles are playing pretty good football, I think. I know their record doesn't show it, but they show glimpses of being a pretty good football team. Now, here's the thing with the Saints. As I mentioned, Philly has the 3rd ranked rushing offense in the NFL. The Saints, though, have the number 1 rushing defense in the NFL. It does seem that their offense can't move the ball well, you know, after losing Winston. But the Eagles have been winning because of their rushing attack of recent. If that is taken away from them, they will be depending on Hurts, who I like, by the way. I've always said I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But it won't be good enough for this game. The Eagles are favored by 1.5. Right now, I don't know if Kamara is playing or not. But regardless, I think it's a good game. But the Saints pull away at the end. The Dallas Cowboys at the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, man, this game here, man. The new number 1 offense in the NFL comes to Kansas City. The Cowboys, who just beat the piss out of the Falcons, are now headed to a very packed and extremely rowdy. And trust me, KC is going to come out pissed off. This is going to be the game where they show America they are back. And this is actually a great gauge on how good the Chiefs can still be. Now, the Cowboys, on the other hand, they have a firm grasp on the division, okay? This is an AFC game that has no real threat to them if they lose. Wow, that sounds kind of familiar. Sounds like that Broncos game 2 weeks ago. But Kansas City's defense has been terrible. They currently have the 26th ranked defense in the NFL. If the Cowboys do not match the intensity of the fired up Chiefs team, they lose. But here's the thing with the Chiefs, okay? They're going to have to keep that intensity all game. It just can't be for 1 quarter. Because this Cowboys team can come back at any time against a really bad defense, which the Chiefs have. And the Chiefs are favored here. Cowboys are 7-2 right now. Chiefs are 6-4. And the Chiefs have looked like straight shit offensively the last few weeks. But the team woke up against a stressfully tired Raiders team. And Mahomes went nuts again because he knew he was playing my fantasy team. God, I hate fantasy. But I see the Cowboys winning this game, okay? It's just too far from their last loss. I mean, I do believe the Cowboys will lose this season again, all right? But not this week. Give me America's team getting 2.5 in the game of the week here. The Cincinnati Bengals at the... Now, on this game, by the way, a few weeks ago, I would have called this the game of the week. But now that the... played arguably their worst game Sunday night. And the Bengals, since their big win against the Ravens, have lost to Mike White and the Jets and got smashed by the Browns at home before they got a bye week. And the Raiders, I'm DeSean Jackson, by the way. Can he just catch the ball like a normal receiver and run like a normal receiver instead of making those bonehead decisions? I'm him. And Carr throwing up that ball like he's playing 500 on the block with the local kids? It was just a bad game for the Raiders, man. Now, here's the thing. The last time they played was in 2019. The Oakland Raiders won 17-10. And what's crazy is both Carr for the Raiders and Mixon for the Bengals had decent games. So this game is tough for me. But I also see this as a tough game for the... I mean, if you look at the stats, the Raiders, they have a better offense and defense, statistically. But the Bengals, man, they're rested and it's actually a pick 'em now in Vegas. So it's a toss-up. So I'm not the only one having a problem with this game. I'm going to go with the Bengals here. And the main reason why is they're not a bad team. I don't think they're a bad team. And I can't see them losing three in a row. So give me the Bengals. The Cardinals at the Seahawks. Okay, game time decision is being said for Kyler Murray. And I'm that. Because I told you guys about McCoy, by the way. Go back and listen to me. McCoy is a good backup. He's good for a game here and there. Having him start two games in a row would be trouble. An old dolt McCoy proved me right by having an awful game. And they need Murray in this game, or they are in some serious trouble again. And I was completely shocked at how bad Russell Wilson played. And on me, by the way, saying he would come out of the gate swinging. I was like, oh, he's going to come out of the gate crazy. He actually ended up trying to hop over the gate and got his whole body tangled in barbed wire because he was terrible last week too. The Seahawks defense played an exceptional game shutting down Rodgers the whole game. Now, the truth is, I like the Seahawks in this game no matter who is playing. And I do believe this time Russell Wilson will have a great day for himself. Start him if you're a fantasy owner. Now, I wanted to look at Kyler Murray's history in Seattle against the 12th man. Ah, we're crazy. Let me sip my latte. Hold on. Yay. Go ahead. Pump that crowd noise into the speakers. I'm the 12th man. Altogether, he's 2-2 against the Seahawks, okay? But he's 1-1 in Seattle. But the game he won, he did not have a good game at all. Kenyon Drake, who was the running back for the Cardinals at the time, ran for almost 170 yards, which is why they won in Seattle. So I'm going to go as if Kyler Murray's playing, and I see this being another good game, but I see the Seahawks pulling it out. The Hawks are getting 2.5 at home. So give me the Sea Chickens with the points and winning. The Pittsburgh Steelers at Chargers. Sunday night football. Now the Steelers may or may not be without Big Ben. This is the deal, everyone. If he has two negative tests without symptoms in 48 hours, he can play because he's vaccinated. So if no Big Ben, Mason gets the start. So it's kind of hard to see who's going to start that game, but they also lost their best defensive back to COVID. Minkah Fitzpatrick. And with the Chargers, man, we never really know who's going to show up, right? And the Chargers defense, right? They seem to be their Achilles heel, but they're only 17th in the NFL statistically. So that's not bad. And their offense is way higher than the Steelers statistically. Now, without Big Ben, I see a beatdown here because the Chargers need to stay in this playoff hunt. And if you look at the Steelers last season, this is when they started to decline and not playing that well after starting out the season undefeated, right? Now, I know Boza is not playing for the Chargers, but I don't think they need him here. I like the Chargers winning and covering the 5 points they are giving up. The New York Giants at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Monday Night Football. Okay, here they come, the doubters. They love this, huh? Saying Brady sucks and the Bucs suck and I'm you. Just stop. There's actually a meme going around with Brady sitting on the bench, right? Staring into oblivion during his loss to the Washington football team. And all these jokes are bagging on him, right? Like, oh, he's probably thinking how bad he sucks. Oh, he's probably thinking how he should have retired. Like all these stupid, corny-ass, generic jokes. But I'll tell you what he's thinking in that picture if you guys want to know, okay? This is what he's thinking. I'm fucking bored. When does the playoffs start? Why did we really have to play this shitty team we know we're better than? Yet I know we have to show up. Oh, and I wonder what Giselle's lingerie is going to look like tonight. That's after I'm done eating my steamed broccoli with a sautéed, caged-free, thinly sliced piece of unicorn. You know, it's like Brady and his magical life people hate on constantly. But now you piss the man off. You don't piss the goat off, okay? You don't piss off Neo from The Matrix. Now, Brady has a 5-1 record against the Giants in the regular season. Not talking about the Super Bowls. He's 5-3 with the Super Bowls. Also, very important, Brady has played Daniel Jones already and beat the piss out of him, 35-15. Now, the Giants are well-rested and may have some of their injured players back. And I'll say this again, the Giants can easily be 6-3, which would be the same record as the Bucs. But they're not. They're 3-6. And I still believe the Bucs are one of the best teams in the NFL, especially when it's playoff time. The thing that's getting me is this spread, man. I don't know. I just don't trust this spread that much. Bucks are favored by 11 points, and I'm not super confident about this, but I will say it didn't help that the Bucks were embarrassed by a Washington team we all know the Bucks are better than. So give me the Bucks covering the 11 and winning, okay? Super low confidence level again. By the way, on my confidence level. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day, that's right, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
Now it's time for my top five teams in the NFL. Here's the thing, man. These rankings are getting tough because all the top teams just keep losing, right? Number five. I'm giving it to the New England Patriots. Look, I haven't seen one power ranking with them in the top five, and that's a shame. Because not only are they winning, but they are beating teams down, as I mentioned earlier, with a rookie quarterback. And here's the thing, they may even be higher next week in my power rankings. Give me the Pats at five. Number four, I go with the Buffalo Bills. I know I'm them, by the way, for thinking, they're back after beating the Jets. But then I'm me for putting them here, I guess, too. So we know their defense is stout. And if they could score 20 or more points a game, they can beat anybody. So give me the Bills at four here. Number three. The Dallas Cowboys. What the Cowboys did was impressive to me. I know it was Atlanta, but it was an Atlanta team that was 4-4, okay? And that Atlanta team just beat a Saints team in New Orleans that beat the Bucs. And the Cowboys, I mean, they beat the piss out of them. But what I'm really impressed with is the response to the loss with the Broncos. Because this is something I haven't seen with the Cowboys in years. Usually when they're upset like they were with the Cowboys, they would come back and maybe win the next game, but there would still be questions when they won. There is absolutely no questions after that 43-3 thrashing. Cowboys are three on this list, and they are on the verge of moving up. Number two, the Tennessee Titans. You know, what's crazy about this team is I just don't think they're that good. And I'm that. So I'm me for putting them at number two. But they do know how to close out games and win, which is huge. And I think I also read somewhere that they're like 5-0 against last season's playoff teams. That's pretty damn good. And here's another crazy stat. Derrick Henry has not played in the last 2 weeks, and he still leads the NFL in rushing. Insane. Number one, the Green Bay Packers. Look, Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, no problem. The defense shows up for him, right? Aaron Jones goes down, no problem. AJ Dillon shows up and runs for over 100 yards, because that's what good teams do. And that's what this team has done. They are number one in my power rankings. Now it's time for the bottom five most generic teams in the NFL. Number 32. I mean, does it have to be said? Yes, they can no longer go 0-17, but they're still generic. But I'm sure their coach still thinks they can make the Super Bowl because he could be the most optimistic man ever to live. Oh, I know we can make the playoffs. I know it. Because we don't have any turds on this team. And I know the playoffs are pretty much mathematically impossible, but I believe in this team. I'm you. Your team sucks, and you have so many turds on your team right now. Number 31, the New York Jets. So, as I mentioned earlier, Mike Wyatt is officially another shitty Jets quarterback. Now, this position might change if Flacco can inspire this team, but he has a lot to do, and he doesn't play defense either, because the defense has been terrible for the Jets as well. Number 30, the Houston Texans. Now, I'm putting a lot of faith in Tyrod Taylor here to prove this spot worthy. So, come on, man, you could do it. Prove to me that the Texans are the 30th best team in the NFL. You could do it, bro. Number 29, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're getting better every week. And you want a guarantee? This team makes the playoffs next season for sure. Number 28. Now, this one's hard for me, man, because now the records go from three wins and up. So in order for me to pick the fifth most generic team in the NFL, I have to go based on last weekend. So I need to put the Falcons here. I know they're 4-5, but they haven't beat anybody, really. I'm at the Saints, like I said, but it is what it is. So give me the Falcons at 28. All right, everyone, that's going to do it for I'm Your Football Team, powered by Chopped Sports. I hope you enjoy all the Week 11 football games, unless you're a Chiefs fan. And we will see you next week. And if you're not here, I'm you.